Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Bryce Diamond here on Ottawa's Raptors podcast, but I'm on the road. Ottawa's Raptors podcast has taken a little road trip, at least for me, a solo trip, down to Mississauga, my hometown, visiting my folks, hoping later this week, maybe after the next game, maybe Thursday morning, I can get my dad, who has been a recurring guest, almost a listener's favorite, although Evelyn, my daughter, has definitely got the episode with the most views by a long shot. But I'm back in Mississauga, enjoying the sunshine here on a Monday morning, post back-to-back versus the Boston Celtics, which is on Saturday, and then yesterday against the New York Knicks. Certainly home cooking on Saturday was not the answer to get a win for the Raps. However, last night against the Knicks on Sunday, we did pull off a victory. What to say about where we are? Well, Zaya has lots to comment on in respect to this team, the state we're in, the state of affairs of the fan base, which, based on many of the people that I follow, some Raptors media are just saying that the timeline is toxic. Things are spiraling downhill for the Raptors fan base, at least on Twitter. But interestingly enough, I read recently that in 2022, including December, so that Christmas gift time, that jersey sales came in. They had numbers to back up whose jersey Canadians were buying the most. Of the top five, there were three Raptors. Fred VanVleet was number five on the best-selling jerseys in Canada for 2022. Number four was LeBron James. Number three, Steph Curry. So a couple of guys not on the team, obviously legends, future Hall of Famers. I think arguably LeBron James, as we get closer to him surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points in NBA career history, which is an incredible feat that, to be honest, when Kobe retired and he didn't surpass Kareem, I really didn't think anyone could. But LeBron's durability has just been insane, off the charts. And he's going to break it before the All-Star game, I think. But, yeah, a couple of, you know, massive players in NBA history. I would say Steph Curry is definitely in the conversation for top 10, certainly top five of all time, top three point guards of all time. I'd probably put him second all time. But yeah, LeBron James, number two guy of all time, if not number one, depending who you're talking to on what day. The jersey sales for those two guys, not a surprise that they're up so high. I was surprised Fred beat out Giannis, but we haven't even got to the top two. Two Raptors in 2022, Pascal Siakam had the number two best-selling jersey in Canada. How about that? Pretty amazing. Number one, and you guys probably have figured it out, it's a Raptor, as I said. And the Raptor that has, and the NBA player that has the best-selling jersey in Canada for 2022, Scotty Barnes. And folks, this is not something that just happened overnight. It was for the entire 2022 calendar year. Scotty Barnes is everyone's favorite, it seems. The young, the old, the media. He's come on huge in 2023. He's played his best basketball of the season the last five games, especially finishing up that road trip, Milwaukee, Minnesota. He was excellent. Even in that New York game, we went to overtime. He had his best basketball in the fourth quarter and overtime. But best-selling jersey in Canada, 2022, Scotty Barnes, and I think it's only going to go up just like his game is going up. And I thought that was just an interesting stat, interesting fact to read about, especially knowing that we've struggled. We didn't necessarily have the best calendar year. Obviously, we made the playoffs last year, so that would have given a bump. But to start off this 2022-2023 campaign, you know, end of 2022, it had its bumps and bruises. It had its twists and turns, and there was not always a lot of excitement around Scotty Barnes in November, December. So it's good to hear that he had the best-selling jersey of last year. It will be interesting as the season continues if his jersey continues to sell number one. Anyways, that's just something to be excited about, that the fan base is getting behind the young guy, the future of the franchise, most would say. I would probably agree with that, although for the next 3 years, I'll put my support behind Pascal to lead this team. Obviously, Fred not far behind. But against Boston, Fred was sitting. So was Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart and Robert Williams both got injured. Too bad for Robert Williams. We were just talking about him coming back in the last couple weeks. And he gets injured, hopefully nothing too serious. Haven't read too much about either of their injury reports. I only have enough time to kind of know what's happening when the Raptors are playing against them. For the most part, I'm obviously following LeBron's quest to surpass Kareem, which is unbelievable. If you guys have been watching basketball for 10 years or more, it's something absolutely spectacular. I also, if you've watched basketball for two or more decades, you know how significant Kareem is in the landscape of NBA history. Obviously, he's still around. He's still writing online. He's a guy in his, you know, mid to late 70s, a contemporary of my father, actually. And Kareem changed the game with his shot, his skyhook, and it was basically unguardable. And he played until he was 40 years old, won it, I think, six titles, one with the Bucks and then five with the Lakers. But what he did to score the basketball, the efficiency, the consistency, it changed the game. And what's wild is no one's been able to replicate it. No one's tried to duplicate it. They can't. No one seems to figure out how to do that. Now, of course, guys like Reggie and Steph and many others and the league now, as we see the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the three-point shot is more devastating, more efficient, more potent than the skyhook. Even though you need a mid-range game offense to win it, the most elite players in the league have it, especially those top 10 guys. They all have a mid-range game to one degree or another. And but no one's been able to duplicate what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did with that skyhook. And for me, growing up, watching the Lakers, of course, watching Magic Johnson, to see Kareem in his later years even, it was still mad impressive how he could hit that shot and how he could avoid double teams really well with it, how he could avoid guys who were fast, who were tall or long. Now, he was, you know, 7 feet tall with a crazy wingspan, but still, that shot made it even him even longer. He shot more like a 7'6" guy than a 7'1" guy. Regardless, I'm saying all this because growing up, that Kareem scoring record was basically unstoppable. And of course, Jordan took 2 years off in the middle of six straight championships, really, to play baseball. And that kind of took away, you felt, his chances to win the scoring title, career scoring title, which was Kareem's. And then Kobe looked like he was on track, just so consistent and durable. And you felt like, oh, maybe Kobe will do it. And Kobe kind of knocked on the door. And then, of course, the last 4 years, he had many injuries. And he's up there, right? He's in the top four all time for scoring. I think LeBron went past him 2 years ago. Could be 3 years ago now, just before the pandemic. Yes, 3 years ago, he went by Kobe, I believe in that 2019-2020 season, because it was, he had gone past Kobe just before Kobe died, which is wild to think about again, to like actually sit back and think about the loss of Kobe Bryant and how much impact he's had on the league. But of course, the league as it stands, so many guys have talked about the importance and impression that Kobe Bryant made. So, you know, he passes away and you just forget about LeBron and his scoring quest because the pandemic hits. But to see how durable Bron has been, to see how consistent every year it seems he's just able to like fight off aging. He seems a bit limitless. And this year he's done the same. Now, again, defensively, he's limited. Certainly he doesn't have the bounce the last 3-4 years that he had in those Miami days. And then, of course, before that, in his earlier days, in his 20s. But he can still get up and he can still explode. And obviously, he's been able to improve a lot of areas of his game, the post game, the mid-range, and his shooting from behind the arc. And he's just an impressive, impressive guy. As I talked about a couple episodes ago, we're going to talk more about LeBron James during Black History Month, which is coming up, starts next week, February 1st. And we'll get into his impact off the court because of what he did on the court. And as much as he's been a villain to Raptors fans over the years, he's definitely someone that we need to give respect to. And I want to be able to do that. Hopefully, Zaya can join me for that episode and maybe Courtney too, to just talk about how important a person, a citizen of this globe, but specifically of Ohio, his home state, Akron, his hometown, and the U.S. as his country, home country, to be able to talk about his impact. So, just wanted to take some time to talk about those things. You know, knowing how important the Raptors are in Canada is one thing, but, you know, sometimes fans, young fans, watch other teams and other players and they want to get their jersey. That's not how I roll. Maybe when I was younger, definitely. In my teens and early 20s, I've got other jerseys. But, you know, in the last 20 plus years, it's been all Raps. The Raps, as I was talking before, did play the Celtics and unfortunately couldn't put them away. And this is a trend. They weren't able to put Milwaukee away in Milwaukee in that fourth. Weren't able to close and complete a win in Minnesota. They let D'Angelo Russell get hot, and they let D'Angelo and the Timberwolves finish that game off at home. A good win for them. And then here we were, the Raptors at home after playing three, four games on the road. And what happens? They're up 5-6 points going into the fourth against the Celtics. No Jason Tatum to deal with. No Smart and Williams. And Peyton Pritchard hits a bunch of shots, including the game winner, to put the Raptors to bed at home. No home cooking to be the recipe for victory. It was Peyton Pritchard stealing the show. The Raptors had three chances in the last 20 seconds to win the ball game. First, Scottie Barnes gets blocked. Then Scottie Barnes goes against Al Horford for a jump ball. Al Horford wins the jump, but it goes out of bounds. Raptors ball. Then Scottie Barnes turns it over. Then Grant Williams for the Celtics has an offensive foul on the inbound. And the Raps get another chance. Now their third chance in the last 20 seconds of the game. And then finally, Pascal gets an opportunity with 3.5 seconds to go. And he can't do anything with it. I believe he turns it over. He doesn't even miss a shot. He just turns it over. And the Toronto Raptors wasted another lead, this time at home, and fall to the Boston Celtics, their nemesis. And the team we hate losing to the most, at least for me, that's the team I hate losing to the most. And it was just really difficult. And on a back-to-back against the Knicks the next night, last night, how they got up for the game. Like, it's amazing to me. Like, knowing what was expected, how they played the end of the season, knowing that they had some injuries, some difficulties, a great mountain to climb after getting down 3-0 to Philly, and Embiid hitting that shot and taunting the crowd as he does, Troel, as he self-proclaims himself to be on Twitter, but also in visiting, you know, in opposition arenas, how they were able to then muster up two more games for themselves to put them 3-2, including a road win, showed a lot of character. No Fred VanVleet. They play a great first half, but you felt that their defense was going to have to turn it up in that game six at home, and they just fell off. They didn't have it, right? And having all that happen to finish the season, all that excitement and good vibes to finish the season, you come into this season, you know, with great belief and thinking sky's the limit. But we knew there were gaps to their roster. We've been talking about this all season, but we were talking about it all training camp. Where's their center, their bona fide center? Where's their backup point guard? Where are they going to get shooting from? Because they're going to need it, and especially this season with numbers off the charts offensively. They have desperately needed a bucket or two a game. And if they got, you know, 3, 4, 5 more points a game on average, we know that right now they'd be sitting comfortably in the sixth seed. And it has been a rocky road. So how you lose three games, tough games on the road, come back, lose to Boston, and then get yourselves up for a game, even though it's home, it shows the resilience of these guys. It shows the competitive nature of these guys. If anyone thinks these guys don't want to win, if anyone thinks these guys don't care about being a team and being successful as a team, you're not watching. You're not paying attention. You're not looking at what they did last year or the year before or in their careers. These guys have pride. These guys care about winning and winning with each other. And yeah, there's trade rumors, and yeah, that's a frustrating reality of the game. And it can be a bit debilitating at times. At the end of the day, when they get on that court, they want to win that game and play their very best basketball individually and collectively. And last night, they put a pretty good game together. It wasn't perfect. There was no OG Anunoby last night. The Knicks were without Mitchell Robinson. But the Raptors were able to get out early, scoring 37 points, getting up 15, and having a 9-point lead at the half. Spicy P, Pascal, the new Black Panther, as we've called him, was solid. Fred had another great game coming off a rest. Really appreciated that Nick sat Fred and now sits OG. Hopefully Pascal, Scotty, and Gary all get rests as they go, get a rest game as they go to the West Coast. But they battled, they believed, and although they threw away the lead in the third quarter, and it was 86-86 going in the fourth, the bench came out with Gary, and they got the job done. They won an 11-0 run. I think Scotty might have been on the floor at the time as well, but Gary really led the offense from a scoring standpoint, and the Raps were able to get that separation, and then the bench continued to play well. Herman Gomez, Boucher, Precious were able to work with Scotty and Gary to really build some momentum. And they at one point went up 16 points. Nick did have to call timeout with 3 minutes to go because the Knicks got it down to 10. But they were able to manage the clock, manage the game, score a few more buckets, and put it away and win it 125-116. It wasn't an easy game. Like, there's so many aspects to the game last night that you could say this was a game you could see them throwing away, not only because they had lost a number of games previous to this, but also because, you know, the Knicks are fighting to get into that playoff and avoid the play-in. And they've you know, had a decent season, and they've been a tricky opponent. You know, they've beat us once. They lost a tough one in overtime where they threw away a 9-point lead with 4 minutes to go. So they wanted to get back into the win column and of course, beat the Raptors in their building. So good performance. Character win. I don't know where it will go because the Raptors haven't been able to string too many games together this season. They did have that 3-game winning streak, but you know, Charlotte was 2 of those 3 games that they got the wins on. So who knows what we're going to see from the Toronto Raptors moving forward. But I got to say, last night against the Knicks, that was a really good win. Again, kudos to Nick. He needs to rest his guys, and maybe to help the confidence of everybody, maybe to give spacing for the starters at times. But I think at the end of the day, to help them take a breath, the starters, to help give some perspective, I think it's a great idea to rotate them over the next week or so. And all of them, all the starters, get some serious, well-needed rest. And hopefully in that time they can maybe go 3-2 on this West Coast trip, a time where they usually bond together and grow as a team and belief and trust in each other. Maybe it will spark something. Remember last year they went off to San Antonio, Denver, Phoenix. They played a number of games. They won seven out of eight they won. I think they won 5 in a row on that road trip. Especially that Phoenix-Denver back-to-back was just ridiculous. Zion and I were able to do that pod together. And hopefully something like that can happen again to spark a run. We're believing it. We believe this team has the players to do it. Now, hopefully in that time, while they're on the West Coast, Masai and Bobby can pull the trigger. Yes, Nick Nurse has to adjust. Yes, the players have to get a little sharper in clutch time. But Bobby and Masai got to do something for us. And maybe they're going to wait till the summer, and that's totally fine. But we need guys to complementary pieces. We've talked about Poeltl. We know that. We've talked about a backup point guard. I've been, you know, early in the season, I said Mike Conley because I thought we were going to trade Birch and Malachi Flynn early in the season. Now, a guy like Monte Morris, although I don't think Washington's going to give up Monte Morris, but a guy like Monte Morris is a guy we want. Now, I don't want to give anything up for it, and that's the tricky part of trades. But the Raptors do need something, and Bobby and Masai got to make some adjustments. We'll see if that happens before the trade deadline or if that's going to happen in the summer. But for now, you hope. You hope we can get hot before the All-Star break. You hope you can get Pascal to the All-Star game. I don't see how he can't get to the All-Star game, but hopefully you can get him there. And we can have some sunshine, which is exactly what I'm getting here in Mississauga. You've probably heard the coastal feel. The waves here from Lake Ontario are crashing against the rocks. And hopefully that's a metaphor that we are going to be crashing into the West Coast and messing some things up, maybe messing some games up, messing up some plans for Steph and Chris Paul, Dame Lillard, and others that we play on this trip. But this would be a great time. If ever there was a time to get going, this is the time. Chris Boucher, of course, just celebrated his birthday. Let's get him a late birthday gift. Fred VanVleet turns 29 at the end of February. Wouldn't it be nice to go on a tear, to go on a bit of a run here, maybe win 14 of 20 games, and get back over 500. Wouldn't it be great for him to have a birthday gift? Wouldn't it be nice to be, you know, in striking distance for the sixth seed as Pascal's birthday comes up at the beginning of April? Yeah, let's hope. Let's believe that everyone in this franchise who has the decision, the power to make moves and improvements can do that. Otherwise, we're going to be looking at a long offseason with a lot of deep breaths to be taken. Actually, Gary also, talk about birthdays, Gary just celebrated his 24th birthday. So, lots of celebrations. anyways, I hope you are well wherever you are. Again, make sure to check out our Black History Month series. And of course, check out all our post games and longer pods too. This is getting long enough, so I'll cut it off here. Much love to you from Mississauga. Peace. I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your passion.